Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, my buddy Sam Minter is not saying it. I am saying it today because we are in a complicated situation today. I am recording the show for the first time ever that I recall.
Congratulations. Assuming it actually works.
He is Sam Minter. We are both here. Somehow, magically, Sam, as far as I understand, is being lit basically only by the light of his phone at this
point. That is correct. That is correct. I am in my house. My son, Alex, is actually a few feet away from me. He's promised to be good. My wife and my daughter are elsewhere right now.
Elsewhere, meaning not in the house or just...
Meaning my daughter is at my mom's house. So I should give a necessary piece of information here. The reason I'm in the dark is not just because I decided to turn off all the lights.
No, he's not trying to save money on electric.
Although I occasionally do that. But, you know, no, it is because on we are recording this on Thursday evening U.S. time, Friday UTC. And, on Tuesday night, the part of the country I'm in western Washington state, had a big windstorm. And in the greater Seattle metropolitan area, there were roughly 300,000 people without power. And in my particular, you know, my electric company puts out reports just of theirs. There, at their maximum, they had 150,000 people without power. That was Tuesday night. And it is now Thursday night. And they're down to, I believe the last update I saw said 27,000 people without power.
And Sam, I'm one of those lucky guys.
I'm one of those lucky guys. And more to the point, if I left my house right now, first of all, I'm looking out my window. My neighbor has electricity.
Oh, that's
okay.
I've been in that situation.
If I leave and walk in the opposite direction, I have to walk about a block and a half, and then those people have electricity. So it's probably only a couple dozen, maybe three dozen houses right in this area that are still dark, which means we're one of the last ones to get fixed because, of course, they first do the fixes that can get like thousands of people online at once.
Correct.
And they work their way down.
Right. That's
and so now, since I'm in a little pocket of darkness that only has a couple dozen homes, that means we're probably last on the list.
I have been in that situation after like hurricanes and other such incidents, to be honest. And it's like, it's always like incredibly annoying when like you're the guy that, you know, geez, really? Everybody around you's got power and you're like, damn it, really? What about my house?
Exactly. No. And you know, when I was in Florida, we had a generator because this was expected and actually happened relatively frequently, to be honest. So we had a generator. We expected hurricanes. The generator did not come with us when we moved from Florida to Washington State. Mm-hmm. And my memory was we gave it away or something. My wife's memory is that the movers stole it. But in any case, it didn't make it.
I'm going to believe your wife.
Yeah, she's probably right. But in any case, I'm in the dark. I'm in the cold. The house is like below 60 degrees now.
Jeez.
Today I spent, I had work conference calls starting at 6:45 a.m. and going straight through till noon. And
you basically had to leave the house at the time.
Well, because they're ones that like, if it was just the phone call, okay,
yeah, I could probably had a WebEx or whatever.
I didn't actually have a WebEx, but I had to constantly be referring to things on the intranet,
right?
You know, for the stuff I was doing. So yeah, I had to, I woke up in the morning to see if the power was on. Not like the power turning on would wake us up, but so I had two choices basically, like. In order to get to that 6:45 call, if I was actually going to go into the office, I would have had to leave home around 5 a.m., maybe 5:30. I could have made it. But my mother volunteered. She lives about 15-minute drive away from me, and she never lost power. Well, she lost power for like 5 minutes. But and so I basically went over to her house and worked from her house long.
So you weaseled out. You didn't even go like through the slog to the office. You actually just went to your mom's.
Yeah, because I was like, you know, once she volunteered, I'm like, that saves me an hour. I'm not, you know, I'm gonna, yeah. So I went to my mom's. I stayed at my mom's all day. I worked from there. And you know,
and you're still with your broken foot, right?
I'm still with my broken foot. Yes. Now it's much better than it was 3 weeks ago, but it's still like I'm not on crutches anymore, but I still have to walk on my heel, so I'm sort of limping along wherever I go. So, yeah.
Well, before we get to the any real topics, I made a decision today with like, I was looking to save on a totally different subject. I decided to do something that I had like resisted. But I don't know. They offered a discount substantial enough, and I did this. So, for my auto insurance, if you let them install one of these devices to track your driving...
Oh, you get a discount. You drive well.
Yeah, if you drive well. I decided to let them put... Well, actually, no, you get a discount 10% off the bat, regardless. Okay? All right? So, I decided to go and just say the hell with it. I'll accept the stupid device. I mean, I don't know. I'm still a little bit like...
Now, you're a bit of an aggressive driver.
I'm not anywhere nearly as I... It doesn't say that, number one. But I'm not anywhere nearly as... I'm not that aggressive a driver that much anymore. I leave that for the track for the most part right now. Like, uh-huh. I'll be honest. And there's the other thing. I barely drive as much anymore either. I mean, for the most part, I've been working from home because commuting, to be honest, sucks.
You don't have to tell me.
And I'm just like, I mean, even though my commute is okay, and I do like to go to the office occasionally, it's just that, as all of you know, who've listened to the show regularly, I haven't been home that much. I've been traveling way too much. And it's like, really, after being for like 5 weeks away, then to go and like just schlep myself to the office when I have got, you know, when you're away, everything just piles up at home, right? You know, there's so much stuff. I need to be able to be take care of stuff that's happening here while at the same time I'm doing work. And I'm like, I can't be schlepping myself to the damn office. So because of that, I mean, I'm barely just driving to the damn airport and coming back. And driving to the gym and back. I mean, I'm like, really? I mean, what's...
Yeah, you think you can handle, in those short drives, driving conservatively.
Yes, actually, I do. So, it's... So, I'm like, you know, if that's what they're going to track, I mean, not going to get much. You know?
Well, there you go. You get your discount.
I don't know. I guess. It's just... But it just seems just quite intrusive still. I got to be honest. I it's just, you know, we talk about surveillance, and part of that we're talking about Paris attacks and all the crazy overreactions.
Yeah, and that's going to be our main topic for today, everybody, in case you couldn't have guessed. We're going to talk about Paris. We're going to talk about Beirut. We're going to talk about ISIS. We're going to talk about Syrian refugees and everybody's reaction to all this stuff.
Yep.
And that's going to take up almost all of our show.
And all the politicians' idiotic reactions and so forth. And so,
yes. So that's going to be our main topic.
Basically our show. So we're going to take a break now, okay, since we filled you all in on our stupidity and all the goings on.
One more thing on my power. Now, it could be sooner, but the electric company has been putting out little updates on Twitter and on their website. And they're now saying that they might not finish restoring everybody's power till Saturday, which would be another 2 days.
Wow.
So hopefully we're not the very last people to get our power back. But, you know, it's already been more than 48 hours.
I know people that have spent, like, after a windstorm, a hurricane, to be clear, like 30 days without power.
I know. And when we were in Florida, we didn't quite go 30 days, but I believe we went 10 at one point. And yeah, but like I said, that time we had a generator.
Right.
You know, and you can't run your whole house on the generator, but you can plug in the things that matter.
You get the TV, you get the refrigerator, you got the stuff you need. I mean, you can deal, you know.
And our listener Bruce actually tweeted me right before we started recording, "Have you gone out and bought a generator yet?" And honest, we haven't, because A, you know, we don't really need them that often and they're kind of expensive, but we keep thinking it'll be back any moment now, right? Like if we go out and buy a generator,
you'll get it all, but the power will be back on. Yeah.
Exactly. Now, of course we could say, well, we'll use it next time. But again, like this wasn't like Florida. When we lived in Florida, like the power went off like all the fucking time. You know, and
we had a whole bunch of storms.
Yeah. And that's not really true here. Just like it's not ever hot enough to fully justify, like, you know, getting full house central air, because it's like it's only hot enough. You really feel like you absolutely positively need it, like a beer or something.
Right.
You know. And so we've got a couple window units now, or a couple portable units and a window unit, and okay, that's fine. I'm pissed off by the lack of electricity. My wife is all stressed out because, of course, the stuff in the refrigerator is going bad, even though we added some dry ice and stuff to try to mitigate it.
It's gone to the point that it's going to go bad. I mean, it's like if it would have been like 36 hours is about. You really reached the limit. I mean, now you're this doesn't come back tonight. Your refrigerator, you're screwed.
Yeah, I mean, and we just added some more dry ice, but you know, yes, there's all kinds of stuff is going to be bad, and like I haven't been able to do all the normal stuff that I would do. It's completely and totally disruptive of everything. It sucks. Okay,
I take it that the water in the shower is cold.
The last time, so I'm also this, you know, as a TMI thing, because of
it,
I'm
not showering
I do shower, but it's a big freaking elaborate like thing to like get my boot off, and like I can sort of stand, but I have to sit for part of it. It's a pain in the ass. So I did not shower today. Yesterday there was still warm water. I think we have a gas water heater though, so I think we're okay on hot water.
Oh, you have a gas water heater. Oh, you're good. Well, then you're good to go. You freaking loser.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take a shower tonight because I'm kind of stinky. Well, maybe
that would be a good idea.
Maybe once the sun comes up.
All right. Okay. Sounds good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, gonna take a break right now, and I'm gonna try to manage this as well as Sam usually does, and we'll be right back after this.
After this.
Begin. Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
And we are back. You know, I hate listening to my own voice. Can I be honest?
Well, because your voice sucks.
Thank you. That's so nice of you. Okay? You know,
you're welcome. Although, you know, I hate listening to my own voice for the same reason, actually. Because, like...
It sounds a lot better in my head.
Yeah.
I don't know why. Anyway... but anyway, all right, so...
I will add one update before we continue. I see on the house, a couple houses over from me, I can see flashing. That's a little bit yellow, so I'm hoping that means, like, right outside of my field of vision, there's a repair truck somewhere. I can't see a repair truck, but I can see, like, flashing... Like there was one of those yellow light flashing things. So crossing my fingers.
All right, cross your fingers. Well, it's always okay, pretty cool after you've been like out of power for a long time, which I have been. Like it's happened, and like all of a sudden it just fires back up and everything just lights up. That moment's cool. Okay,
yes.
You're like
okay. So
all right.
In the news this week,
something happened.
Something did happen.
What happened again?
Something with panda bears?
Panda bears. Oh, okay.
No, no. I mean, obviously, seriously, the big news of the last week, it actually happened a little bit before I put out the last episode, but after we recorded it, was a terrorist attack in Paris. Obviously, a number of people have pointed out there was an attack in Beirut just a couple days before that. And of course, we had the Russian airliner a week or two earlier.
Yes.
And all of these things, the responsibility has been claimed by ISIS or Islamic State or ISIL or Daesh or whatever you want to call it. And so we've got all kinds of reactions to that.
Well, so let's talk a little bit about
the event itself.
Just a little bit of general now in retrospect about what's happened, right? So I mean, they attacked multiple sites in Paris. They were trying to cause as much confusion, I think, as possible. They had about 130 people that were dead at the end of it. Okay.
Well, and were injured. And there's still a number of people in critical condition, so that may still rise.
Yeah, that may still rise. A lot of people, in terms of the attack, were not complaining and saying, well, why are so many people reacting to this when, there's been attacks of even similar scale or bigger happening in a lot of places in the world.
And even after Paris, there was an attack in Nigeria that was fairly substantial.
I think the main reason why Paris resonates with a lot of people is because it's such a central tourist place where, quite a lot of people have gone there. Okay, it's just, and I think that's one of the reasons probably why they picked to attack Paris because of the attention and because
I think I think it's more than that in the West.
I mean, one of the reasons.
Okay, I mean, I think the other is that from the point of view of an American, you feel like you have more in common with the French than you do with the Lebanese or the Nigerians.
Yes,
and that may not be fair. That may not be right because they're all human beings and we all recognize this. But that's the natural instinct that most people have. Is that culturally there is a greater degree of similarity, and so there's a more of the sense of, ooh, that could have been me, that could have been here.
Well, yeah, but that could have been me also, because it's just a lot of us, I saw plenty of people, including myself, that posted pictures of when we've been in Paris.
Yeah, I mean, even I've been in Paris. It was when I was, in grade school, but I've been in Paris.
It's like we haven't been to these other places. The only person I knew that been in Beirut is actually, personally, is, my grandfather that I can think of in my family. And that was, well before the Civil War that tore Lebanon apart. So it's just, I think that's why so many people, it just resonated with them. I mean, it's a place that we all either visit or, talk about visiting or want to be. I mean, it's it may be unfair that we didn't pay attention to some of these other attacks. I know that I've groused about it. There were a number of serious attacks over the last year that have happened that are similar in the number of deaths, but they just weren't in a place that we're just,
as attuned to.
Yes.
Also it's also more general than even the attacks in Paris on Charlie Hebdo. From a number of months ago, because that was okay. They targeted a newspaper. They targeted journalists who'd put out some cartoons they didn't like, and then they targeted a Jewish grocery store. And those are all bad, but they're very narrowly targeted. Whereas this time, they're shooting up restaurants, they're shooting up a concert venue.
They tried to break into a stadium.
Right. They tried to bomb a soccer game. These are things that, because with all of the others, you could say, oh, well, I'm not a journalist drawing offensive cartoons, so oh, well, I don't I'm not a Jew who goes to the Jewish grocery store or whatever. And you're like, oh well, you know, that, I mean, not that people reacted quite so callously in a conscious way, but subconsciously is that, you know, oh, it's, they're attacking somebody else. Whereas with these kinds of things, a much larger portion of the population directly identifies with, yeah, I go to soccer games sometimes. Yeah, I go to concerts sometimes. And God knows I go to restaurants. You know, and...
Yeah. I mean, so, all right, so that was, I think, you know, the attack was big. It's not an unprecedented attack. It's not like it's the first time that Paris has been attacked. I mean, I remember attacks on Paris. I mean, terrorist attacks, I mean, dating back to when I was a little kid, I remember that it was a week in which there were mama's bombs being placed in Paris almost every day.
Even generalizing from Paris, I saw a graph I obviously don't have my computer in front of me, so I can't bring it up, but I think it was at Vox or somewhere, that showed just deaths by terrorist attacks in Europe over the last, you know, since World War II, basically. And there, it's significantly lower, even with this spike. Yeah, this is a spike that shows up very noticeably on that graph. Mm-hmm. But there's a clear downward trend where what we have today is nothing compared to what was happening in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, I mean, you know, London had a great...
The IRA
attacks. France had a whole bunch of attacks because it was because of Algeria and their, you know, their policies there. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty bad.
We had the Achille Lauro. Had the attack on the Olympics. There are all kinds of stuff. I mean, this is not new, and because the trend has been downward, each individual thing also has more impact. Like, you know, just simply because it is rarer. So when it does happen, people are much more shocked by it. Not like it was ever okay and good, but
right. It's just, it's not as common an event. So therefore, when it happens, it just gathers a lot more attention. Now, okay, so we've talked about the attack, and we've talked in the scope of how it compares to other attacks. Now, let's talk about the, I would say, the moronic reactions.
I think I'm with you there, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how else to phrase them, because, you know, so, I mean, I don't know which first to say. I mean, you know...
So let's start with this. When they were doing the sort of after action, figuring out what happened, there was a Syrian passport found on or near one of the terrorists who died.
Yep.
And so almost immediately there was a reaction in lots of places about, oh my God, look, the Syrian refugees are like a mode of infiltration where bad guys are coming in to blow us up. And see, I told you about letting these people in. We shouldn't let these people in because look what happened.
Right. But let's be clear. Most of the people that led this attack are French or Belgian nationals.
All of the people that were involved in this that have been identified so far.
They're not refugees.
And that passport was fake.
I did not get that bit, that the passport was fake.
Yes, the passport is fake.
So this is even more moronic now that I've learned this fact. I mean, I knew that the fact that almost everybody that had been identified was, you know, French, you know, born, Belgian, wherever, okay? Now I didn't realize that passport was to go a little beyond, was even fake.
Yes, and they've determined two things related to the passports. First of all, the black market, you can buy a Syrian passport for $75.
That's it?
$75, yes.
I'm going to buy a couple.
And, you know, apparently one or two journalists went through the exercise of getting Syrian passports with their picture on it.
Nice!
Second, one of the things that the Islamic State took over in Syria was one of the places that makes the damn passports. So the Islamic State doesn't even have to pay the $75. They've got the damn factory where they make them.
Oh, that's great.
Or at least one of the places.
Right. So basically, this whole... And I mean, you know, I was looking at a stat, for example. We've resettled... First of all, the process to get... For people that were providing asylum is not a quick process, okay?
So wait. First of all,
okay.
let's move from there's the European take.
Let's keep on the European take. Yes, because we're over there, right?
Well, I was going to switch over to the American, because you've got this whole process. You've got all of these refugees coming into Europe, but a lot of the reaction has been U.S. reaction.
Yes,
where people have all of a sudden been like, "Oh my God, we have to stop the Syrian refugees from coming in."
Right. And so that governors all went and said that we don't want any Syrian refugees, a whole bunch of Republican governors. And then I saw that the House wanted to pass a bill barring any Syrian refugees from coming over, which I am like, you know, these guys are idiots, right? I mean, these
The House passed a bill tonight with a veto-proof majority because they had a whole bunch of Democrats joining onto it, too, to reform the refugee program. Now, I read a couple things that said this is mostly symbolic because it requires the administration to basically recertify that they're doing all the proper security checks, which, as we were about to mention, they already are doing an extensive amount of security checks. And apparently they're going to require a fairly high level administration official actually sign the final documents on each and every refugee certifying that this person is not a danger to the United States.
I mean, the point is that, you know,
which will not change anything, even if it passes.
The Syrian refugees are exiting because these guys that are organizing, like, are exiting because they are being pushed out of their homeland by war, terror, and all of this stuff. Okay?
Yeah.
Looking for a place to go.
I have seen a few folks that are a little bit hyperbolic saying they're all fleeing ISIS. That's not necessarily true because lots of them are fleeing, you know, the Assad regime
Assad
as well.
Regime, which is and
basically just the fact
debate.
That it's a war zone. Apparently Assad has killed, like, if there was one chart I saw about the number of Syrians killed by all the different factions in Syria.
At least that's
And Assad blows everybody else away. He's killed far more people than anybody else, including the Islamic State. But anyway, yes, people are fleeing the war zone. They're trying to get away from this shit. And, you know, the reaction, I tell you, I know I'm sort of being disorganized here, but...
Well, it's just as disorganized as the reaction. Unfortunately, people, look, let me do a rundown of moronic things I've heard. So you've got the House trying to pass a bill. So you got all the governors that went and said, we're not accepting refugees.
Even though they have no power over that. But go ahead.
Yep. Then you have Donald Trump said that he wanted to bar any refugees that were not Christian, right?
George Bush said that.
Jeb Bush. Oh, so Jeb Bush even said that, and Trump said that to two fucking morons. Okay, again. What else have we had the moronic say?
Trump said he would consider something where all Muslims coming into the country were put into a database and maybe had to have some sort of special identification.
Yes, I saw that one too.
Now, he didn't say he was supporting that. He said he would have to consider that. But...
even considering it, what a fucking jackass!
Yes. Look, here's the bottom. Like, all of this stuff... It has not been any clearer to me in recent times how, like, I look at all of this reaction and I'm just ashamed. I'm ashamed that I can even be in the same country as people thinking this way. And
well, look, there's a lot of people in Europe also feeling the same way. Can I be honest? It's not even this frickin' country alone.
No, I know. There's a big xenophobic groundswell all over the place, that And it just makes me incredibly sad. And meanwhile, of course, I read the posts from people on the other side of this, and they're like, I can't believe you liberal pansy asses who are going to let these people in and don't care about our security.
You know, yeah, don't care about our security because, yeah, they've been such a security problem. You know, I looked up, there was a stat I saw today. There's been, since the year 2000, the U.S. has admitted over 700,000 refugees like this, okay? You know how many have been arrested for terror?
I believe the number is 3.
Actually, the number is 0.
Okay.
Okay?
No. I've seen 0 in some places, but I saw 3 in one other place. But either way, it's in minutes.
Either way, it's 3 out of 700,000! Even if you took the 3!
Yes.
I mean, we've got plenty more fucking homegrown terrorists that to worry about than these fucking people. I'd say a program that goes and gets, you know, a percentage rate of, you know, 3 out of 700,000 is pretty damn fucking good. I like those odds, don't you?
Yeah, and well, and you know, people have put out, one of the things I've seen on my Facebook wall is like, a thing like, here's a gumball machine with 10,000 gumballs. You know, 100 of them are poison. Are you going to take that risk? Or whatever.
It's, well, it's not that ratio.
Well, whatever. If 2 of them or whatever. And I'm like, look, that's, first of all, this is completely the wrong thing. It's dehumanizing these people. But also, like, to me, the right way to look at it, if you're going to do the numbers game, it's, okay, let's say we let in 20,000 refugees. And let's say one of them is actually a bad guy and actually does a terrorist attack and kills 500 people. Well, you're still 19,500 people ahead because you saved all those other people that you let in that were in danger otherwise.
Nah, but they don't care about that.
And the only way that math doesn't work is if you just don't care about those other people.
They don't,
and
that's they, but that's the reality. That's they don't the care about the thing. Other, they don't care about those fucking people. They don't.
Yes.
Don't.
I mean, that's the fundamental thing, is like, the only way this logic works is if the lives of non-Americans don't matter.
And to a lot of these people, the lives of non-Americans don't matter.
And that just, it makes me so angry.
I'm with you there as well.
And, you know, I look at this, and, you know, we've talked over time. I mean, like, I look at Hillary Clinton, and I don't like her. I look at Obama, and there's a lot of things I don't like about the stuff he's done. And in the past, I have seriously considered many Republicans for state and local and other options. I see this crap, and I'm like, I can't. I don't care what else they're saying. If they're going out there advocating policies that just fundamentally decide we don't give a fuck about these people and we don't care what desperate needs they're in, we're going to do something completely and totally irrational that is based on just pure fear. It's pure fear mongering. Because if you actually look at the statistics and the numbers and everything else, the danger is relatively small compared to the huge benefit you're probably giving all kinds of people. And also in the American side of things, I mean, Europe is letting in millions of refugees. The U.S., we're talking about like 10,000 people right now, possibly growing it to 60-something thousand people over the next few years. We're talking tiny numbers of people.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just ridiculous.
And at this point, I'm like, all of this stuff is driving me to the point where I'm like I said, I don't care what else they're advocating. I don't even care, like, if you as one particular Republican have actually said the right thing about this kind of stuff, although that's incredibly hard to find. But if you did, I still couldn't support you because you're in with all these other people. And so I'm being forced into the arms of Hillary Clinton. Not like she's great on this either, but she's better.
Well, she's a lot better.
Yeah.
So is, I mean, I mean, the president has been pretty clear on his policy about trying to help these people.
Well, and
he has been held steadfast. He has not been intimidated by all these moronic statements.
And we'll get into the other reactions besides refugees probably after the next break, too. But, yeah, I mean, I look at this and I'm like, I am so fucking glad Obama is president instead of, like, fucking McCain or somebody.
Jesus, yeah.
Or even Romney. Although, yeah. I haven't heard Romney, like, go off completely on this. But yeah, I mean, and even though I there's so much that Obama does that I don't like, at least in this kind of situation, he's calm, he's measured, he's like, let's look at this rationally, let's not be emotional, let's not overreact, let's weigh everything together, and, you know, we need to help these people. Because if nothing else, in part, you know, we bear some of the responsibility for this damn mess. You know? And even if we didn't, it's still the right thing to do to help people.
Well, yeah. So, all right. So, I know we got a lot more stuff to cover. We haven't even talked about, really, you know, the reaction in terms. So this is like the moronic reaction to refugees. Now, we're talking about there's a whole bunch of other implications in terms of basically bombing the bejeezers out of the Middle East and some other stuff. So we could probably take a break, like right now.
Let's take a break and then we'll cover all that stuff.
We'll cover all that when we come back right after this.
This is a break, oh yes, this is a break. This is a break, cause no one gave me any suggestions. I told you, I warned you, so this is a break. This is a wonderful break, a wonderful break. Yes, indeed, this is a break. This is a break in the middle of Curmudgeon's Corner. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, this is a break. Yes, this is a break. Break. Yes, it is a break. And now the break is over.
Okay, we're back. All right, so, Sam,
so, it looks everybody like, is bombing
it looks
everybody.
Like, bombing Syria and ISIS area, northern Iraq, or whatever the hell all this area is. So now we got everybody bombing the shit out of the place. And we got all these people making friends to go and bomb more of the shit out of this place.
Well, because we got France bombing. We've got Russia saying, well, you know, they took our plane. Maybe we should actually go after ISIS a little bit, not just the anti-Assad rebels. And we've got us, of course. We've been bombing Syria for a year. And so we've got
so
all of, and
now I hear that there is like, you know, like noise, like they're all going to get together to plan the bomb together.
Well, because, you know, despite, you know, Carson mentioned in the debate that China was already in Syria, which, of course, they're not.
China is in Syria? What is Carson? Just a complete moron? The answer is yes!
Yeah, anyway. I don't even want to get on that tangent because there was a whole New York Times article about how he's a moron on foreign policy and even his advisors say so. But anyway, Islamic State took advantage of this week also to execute a Chinese hostage they had to piss off the Chinese too. So it's like, you know, let's make sure you've pissed off
everybody
single member of the Security Council.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah. There you go. So that way there's no veto. We can just get finally a unanimous like passage to, like, you know, we're going to bomb them to the Stone Age and fucking kill them all, apparently.
Well, there was a Russian quote by somebody in the Russian Foreign Ministry. I'm not sure which exact person it was, but basically saying, hey, look, we cooperated in World War II. We have our differences, but when there is need, we can cooperate with the United States. We can cooperate with France. You know, we can get shit done when our interests come in line.
Well, I guess at this point, I mean, ISIS is like, this is what I'm not understanding about what the hell ISIS is trying to do, right? Okay, so basically, you're managing, I swear to God, as this is happening, I'm like thinking, dude, is somebody doing this, like, not ISIS, like, on purpose, in order to make people, like, go after ISIS? I mean, because it's like, think about it, right? So you bomb Lebanon. You bomb the plane, right? The Russian plane. You attack Paris, right? So you execute the Chinese hostage. You've executed Americans. I mean, okay, so you're basically just, you want everybody just to say, fuck it, we're going all in, we're going to annihilate you.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, what I've seen mentioned everywhere is, you know, even in ISIS's own publications, they've stated that part of their goal is to, quote unquote, eliminate the gray zone, which by that they essentially mean they want to make it so Muslims across the world have to choose, you know, and to make it so that it's like, here's the Islamic State and here's everybody fucking else in the universe. And they want to make it so that Muslims outside of the Islamic State feel like they're not welcome, so that they have to align themselves with the Islamic State because they're not wanted where they are. Mm. And so that's what a lot of people are talking about, you know, when, and I'm not sure this is the best rhetoric in the world, but a lot of people are putting out things like, God damn it, you're doing exactly what ISIS wants. But yeah, I mean, because, okay, we turn away the refugees. We turn away the people who are fleeing from the Islamic State, amongst other things. We're feeding anti-Muslim sentiment all across the world, where, you know, now I give a lot of the leaders in France, in Germany, in the U.S., et cetera, are trying their damnedest to not go in this direction. But you've got, you know, all the wacko Republican presidential candidates, you've got the right wing in France, you've got all these folks who are using this as an opportunity to basically say, you know, this is a war of culture, all Muslims are bad. Or they'll acknowledge that, okay, maybe not all of Muslims are bad, but come on, most of them are. You know, and this is exactly the stuff that is the most counterproductive possible way to do this, because you're feeding directly into that. You know, if you are a, you know, young Muslim in France, and you are made to feel unwelcome in your own country.
Yeah, I know.
You're much more likely to be like, well, fuck it. They don't want me.
Right.
I might as well talk to the people who do want me.
Right.
And the same kind of thing applies here as well. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's as advanced as it is in some parts of Europe. But yeah, I mean, you look at the backlash that is happening here for refugees. You look at the backlash against that kid who made the damn clock a few months ago, and all kinds of other scenarios. And it's like, I mean, I see, you know, things reposted from people right here in this country who are Muslim, who are feeling threatened, just going about their day because they're feeling increased hostility from the people around them. And it's like, come on, guys. It's, you know, another one of the charts that goes around all the time is, you know, however many billion Muslims in the world, and then the small little circle that's like the Taliban, the smaller circle that's Al-Qaeda, and the even smaller circle that's Islamic State. And it's like they're tiny compared to the whole of, you know, the Muslim world. And it's like, really, guys, do you really want to make this generalization? Now, having said that, if you look at polls, worldwide polls of Muslims in various countries, and you look at, you know, certain, you know, beliefs about how you treat women or this or that, there certainly are large percentages that we would consider backwards and having the wrong opinion. But that's different from they're going to go blow you up.
Right. I mean, geez. I mean, if I take that, I mean, look, you got to take the fact, we've got a lot of people that are actually not Muslims. They're Christians, conservatives, or whatever, that have a lot of backward opinions like that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they're not, you know, they're not the only ones with some backward thoughts.
And this is one of the things as well. Like, I went on a rant during the Democratic debate a few days ago about, you know, all of the Democrats' inability to say radical Islamic terrorism or whatever. They go for jihadism or stuff, or they want to separate the word Islamic and not put it in there, even with the radical in front of it. So, like, you know, because they couldn't just say, yes, we are fighting radical Islamic terrorism, but it's important to remember that most Muslims are not radical. They wanted to eliminate the Islamic from it entirely. And one of the reasons is, if you consider what radical Islam is, for instance, it's very reasonable to say the Saudis are also radical Islam.
Yeah.
You know, there are many aspects of radical Islam across the world, but they want to separate out the notion of the ones who are violent. Because, you know, we have all kinds of disagreements with Saudi Arabia. And, I mean, they're violent internally, too. I mean, they're beheading people left and right. They're doing all kinds of crap internally. But they're not
at war with the rest of the world.
They're not at war with the rest of the world. And so that's part of what the Democrats are trying to separate. And they also don't want to, even with the word radical in front of it, imply that this is about the religion, even if there is a religious component to it, because an important part in fighting this is getting the support of all of the other Muslim countries to also fight against it. And if you engage in rhetoric that tries to paint all Muslims or even all, a significant portion of Muslims as inherently evil in some way, then guess what? You start losing some of that support that you need.
That's why they're being careful about language.
But both on the refugee thing and on this, and I think this is horribly unfortunate, but a number of people have pointed out it's good politics because, you know, a lot of people are scared. A lot of people are paranoid about this. A lot of people are sort of inherently bigoted about some of this stuff. And so you come out with these xenophobic, jingoistic positions. It's actually probably a winning position. And when you get the Democrats sort of equivocating and saying, well, we don't want to call them that, we're going to call them this instead, there's a huge portion of the American public that says, what the fuck are you talking about? Are you're idiots. Or with the refugees, you're not defending us. How do you go about not caring about our security? And whether or not it's true, that's the impression that you leave. So, you know, I worry that we're in a situation where the person that comes out with this sort of calm, careful, rationally considered position is going to fucking lose to the Donald Trumps of the world, who are pounding their fist on the table saying, we're going to do something about these bastards, goddammit.
Well, but aside from that, look, I think one thing that keeps getting also lost is the fact that if you look at historically over the last, like, 15, 20 years, the source of, like, deaths, terrorism, okay, all right, look, I mean, we have a lot of terrorists that are out there that are not necessarily just fucking Muslims.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of homegrown terrorism in this country that's happened, okay? And even in Europe, there's been terrorism that's not related to this. I mean, people need to get a damn grip about this, okay? That's just narrowing them. We have a lot of radical. I'm sorry, but, you know, look.
Well, and not to mention the usual arguments that I've mentioned here before, where even if you include all that other stuff, your chance of dying from a terrorist attack is still tiny compared to almost anything else.
Yep.
You know, I mean, even other sorts of violent deaths, you're much more likely to be, you know, murdered by somebody that, you know, somebody non-terrorist related than you are to be involved in a terrorist attack. And that's not even considering, you know, car crashes, cancer, every other way you could die. You know, it's just terrorism. Yes, it's scary. It's scary because of the way in which it happens. But the right response is, calm down. I understand you're scared, but let's look at this in perspective. You know, and the right thing to do is very often
Nothing.
Just go. Yeah, nothing. Just go about your business.
I'm going to just start buying pacifiers for everybody. What do you think? My son calms all down with a nice pacifier. Maybe I should just, you know, buy more pacifiers. No? You don't like my plan?
Yeah, pacifiers can be good.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I did try my son's pacifier. I didn't find it all that soothing. I'm like a little bit baffled at what the fascination is with it. I gotta be honest. Maybe we just, I just have to be a lot younger. Anyway, all right. So, So that's on. Okay. So, did one final thought on this? Do you think that given all of this stuff that has happened, do you think that, you know, I know that there's been a lot of, I happen to believe that I think a lot of this overreaction about the Syrians and the refugees will die down quickly. I do believe that. Okay, right?
I think there's some truth to that, that, like, you know, like a lot of these things, 4 months from now, there'll be something new and shiny, and we won't be thinking about this as much. Yeah.
So, now, on a separate note, do you think that this will lead to some concerted effort? I mean, like the Russians said, you know, they bombed our plane, they bombed our city, you know. Do you think it's going to wind up where all everybody winds up getting together to, you know, to try to continue to do a coordinate effort to bomb the bejesus over there out of ISIS? I don't know. I think the only thing, the outcome is going to wind up being what? Assad stays in power?
Well, see, here's the thing. You know, we've been bombing ISIS positions in Syria for over a year with very little effect.
Yeah.
And so the question is, okay, we've already had, you know, France did a bunch of bombing and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's going to be some of that for show. The question is, do they actually do anything that makes a damn bit of difference to anything? And I'm not sure the answer is, because, like, okay, it's relatively easy, to do more bombing on the part of all the countries.
Oh, yeah. We were pretty fucking good about bombing.
Are we going to start throwing ground forces in there? You know, are we going to have, like, the Russians coming in from one side, the French from another, and the Americans from another to, like, you know, route it out? I don't think we're there yet, even though there are a lot of people sort of, pushing from that direction, you know, especially, you know, again, from the right in all of these countries are saying, we got to go in there. We got to go in there militarily. It's time for ground forces. I don't think that we're quite there yet. And from Obama's point of view, I think he's still in the position of, I'm going to do everything in my damn power to keep that from happening. Like, I think some of the criticism against him that he's clearly not wanting to be involved in this is true.
Yes.
Yeah, every little bit he's done because he felt like he couldn't resist the pressure to do at least a little bit. But it's clear to me that he doesn't want to do any of it. And I think...
for the most part, think about it. We do a whole bunch. What's going to be the outcome?
Right, and that's the thing. And that's where his philosophy of don't do stupid shit comes in. And the question is this actually going to make it better? And, like, a lot of these things I look at and I'm like, it may make you feel good
right.
to bomb the hell out of them, but does it actually make it better? I think most of the time the answer is no. It doesn't make it better, and it might actually make it worse.
Right.
And so what I'm afraid of right now, I think we're not quite there right now. We're not over the edge. But I'll tell you what, if the next one of these things happens in New York or Washington, D.C. or L.A.
Oh,
or somewhere.
Jesus Christ, fucking, oh my God. Yeah, well, yeah, all bets are off on that one.
Then game over. Because even then, at that point, Obama could be all like, I want, you know, let's remain calm, let's be measured, all the fuck he wants. But he would not be able to resist that at that point.
No.
You know, if what happened in Paris had happened in New York.
Oh, Jesus.
It would be a whole different story.
Yeah.
And,
but let me put it this way: even at this point, even with all of this happening,
I just want to add on that thing, because we've talked before about what happens if we have another 9/11 and all the dangers that results in. Because, you know, I don't know how many times we've talked about all of the overreach that was a result of 9/11, the surveillance state stuff, the broad military authorizations overseas, all of this stuff. If we have another major terrorist attack in the U.S., there's so much else you can say goodbye to about like traditional freedoms and protections in the U.S. because the mood would just not be there. I mean, even with this one, one of the things we've seen is a whole bunch of people trying to use this as an opportunity to outlaw encryption or require backdoors.
Yeah, where, by the way, which is another fucking whole bunch of cockamamie bullshit, because, you know, the French actually knew that they were onto this guy, okay? They knew that he was up to no good. I guess they just hadn't figured out exactly what it meant.
Well, and one of the things that's come out in the last few days, all of the coordination activities they've done, because they have done retrospective analysis, which, of course, in the argument about surveillance, one of the things they have is record fucking everything and we can go back after the fact and look, which I object to, but that's what they did. And guess what? None of the coordination about this was encrypted at all.
Yeah.
They used regular phone calls, some of which were wiretapped already with warrants, by the way. We just didn't know quite what they were saying. Unencrypted SMS. And guess what? They lived in the same neighborhood and actually talked to each other in person.
In person.
and the biggest factor, apparently, in not understanding what they were doing is they spoke in a particular dialect of Moroccan that they didn't have, like, the translators didn't quite get what they were saying because they didn't understand that dialect.
Oh, God.
And it's like, okay, you know, screw all your high-tech,
yeah,
store
because
everything
we picked
shit.
It up, we knew about this shit, and so basically we were just...
You know, go train yourself some damn, go hire some people that speak the right languages.
Yeah, that we would have known about this in advance.
You know, now it's probably not quite that simple, but still, it's like the encryption stuff is such a load of shit.
Well,
because,
I'm sorry, but wait a minute. You were surveilling the guy. You know about it. They're talking a dialect you don't understand. Fuck. Is it like your first reaction? Hey, why don't I find somebody that knows what the fuck this language is? I mean, isn't it? I know it would be to me.
Yeah.
Oh, well, apparently it's not that big a deal. Well,
But meanwhile, as a reaction to this, we're going to try to pass laws in Congress that require Apple and Google to insert backdoors into all their products so that the FBI
and
the NSA
by the way,
can
not have done
read
one damn
stuff.
Difference for this attack.
No. And that's the common theme with almost all of these reactions is we want to increase the power to do this, we want to increase the power to do that, this, and none of them would actually make a damn bit of difference. Which,
all
by
right.
the way, I must say, to be fair, like, there's some similarity to, like, when you're talking about, like, the domestic mass shooters and stuff and people trying to outlaw certain types of guns. You know, there are certainly gun control things you can do that will reduce the overall death rate, but almost nothing that's ever proposed would actually address the specific scenarios that people freak out about with the mass shootings.
Well, part of the problem is the fact that we've got more guns than people in this country. If I remember
on the refugee thing, one of the things that came up here that was just like the height of irony. Is that what there was a Texas state legislator that put out a note. I don't know. You're laughing, so I think you've seen this.
I don't know. I haven't, but I don't know.
He put out a note basically saying we can't allow Syrian refugees to come to Texas because it would be too easy for them to get guns.
I love it.
And this was a Republican who was presumably like very pro Second Amendment. You should not have restrictions on guns.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, that whole thing is wrong in so many ways, but
I mean, you know, just find them, just punch them. You know, you know.
And this, by the way, when you get talking about. Potential legal restrictions and stuff. One of the other things that's brought up in the same thing is, you know, the Republicans are all like, let's keep all the Syrians out. But meanwhile, simultaneously, they have been blocking legislation on the gun control side that is very narrowly tailored that says, let's make it so that if you're on the terrorist watch list, you can't buy a gun.
So wait a minute. Oh, that's too funny.
Because right now, if you're on the terrorist watch list, that is not a disqualifier to buying a gun.
That's great. I think that's brilliant. I think that's, you know, yeah.
Now, and I understand the Second Amendment argument that you should be able to get a gun, blah, blah, blah. But okay, come on. Yeah, you're on the terrorist watch list. Maybe that, you know.
That should be enough of a blocker, maybe.
Now, having said that, the terrorist watch lists are also bullshit. There are all kinds of people who are on there by accident or have the same name as somebody. So I can understand why you would want some sort of process there. So it's a complicated issue. So I'm making a little bit of light of it.
Well, okay, look, but you know, that's like, okay, look, there is a terror watch list. Okay, what's the point of having the fucking watch list if you're not going to use it for anything?
Yeah, no, I get you. But at the same time, it's sort of like it's prohibiting your liberty without actually having to prove that you've done anything wrong.
Well, at least there should be a second level. I mean, look, if you're on the list for some reason, at least to go, like, get a second level of vetting.
Yeah, yeah. I can see that. Like I said, it's a complicated issue. But the problem with all of this stuff, the common theme on all of this stuff, is people overreacting based on pure emotionalism, based on pure fear, without actually stepping back and looking at it rationally and trying to weigh pros and cons and all this kind of stuff. Or if they do, doing it in such a way where, you know, you completely discount anybody who's not American or who's not Christian or whatever. And I think that, and just going back to an earlier theme, I think that's probably what pisses me off more than anything else about this, is all of these calculations that only make sense if the only people you value are white American Christians. Well, and everybody else, fuck them.
Isn't that our new policy? It's not?
I don't think so. I hope not. But, you know, yeah. We'll see. Like, you know, we do have an election coming up in a year. We'll see. Like, every single Republican, I one of these charts that put like all of the people's positions on what we should do about Syria, what we should do about refugees, it is unanimous. All the Republicans seem to be going nuts about this issue. Even a couple that I thought might show some restraint. Nope.
They're all on the idiot bandwagon, basically.
And like I said, even the Democrats are possibly more hawkish than I would like. I mean, Hillary's going to be more hawkish than Obama's been about this. And even if she wouldn't be in real life, she's gonna have to act that way for the campaign. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just scary because I can see with Obama sort of resisting temptation as long as the U.S. doesn't get hit. But, you know, once we get, even if we got like Hillary, let alone if we got Trump or somebody, but I can see escalation of all this stuff happening once we get a new president in office, unless it all dies down by then.
It probably will.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, the Syria situation is not going to go away in the next
year and a half.
But the Islamic State is not going to go away in the next year and a half.
But, you know, it's like,
but this particular spike of attention will last a few weeks to a month. Absent another attack.
Like some other crazy attack, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I don't know. Do we have anything else to talk about tonight?
We could do a lightning round, or we could just cut it here if you want to cut it here.
Well, the thing is that I know that you're not, we're not probably as prepared as we would be for a show because of some technical issues on Sam and Drew.
The fact I'm talking on my damn phone in the dark and you're the one actually with the computer recording everything?
That's actually correct. So I think I've seen how much time we've expended. I think that today we're gonna end it here today just because, you know, Sam is not at his best. So, I mean, today. And, Well, thanks everybody for listening today. I know we kept the subject on one thing, but it was a very big event that happened last week. I mean, at least it got quite a lot of global attention. I think it deserved a lot of time. It got a lot of angles. I mean, we covered probably a lot of the stuff regarding politics and everything and world events all in one thing. So thank you very much.
And just to touch on it for 1 second.
Yes.
And after all of this, after Trump's statements on this, after Trump going crazy for 90 minutes in a speech, after Carson acting like a complete idiot on all kinds of different things, those two are still at the top of the polls by a significant margin. and there we go.
Yeah, they are still at the top of the polls. So anyway, you may contact us, Twitter, at AbulSme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E, or myself, at IMBo on Twitter. Email Sam, AbulSme, at AbulSme.com. Questions, comments. We got a review Facebook page. Like our Facebook page. We got one more review on our iTunes page.
Oh, another one?
No. Well, we got one from the last time I remember that we talked about it. I don't recall if we mentioned the review that we got, but we got an extra review.
We did.
So more reviews. If you like the show, please share it. Let your friends know, everybody. You know, we like getting more listeners, you know. Hopefully we won't wind up in jail or fired because we get more listeners. But anyway, that's our show for today. Thank you very much, and we'll be back next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.